Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. When we start investing, we're usually doing it for the long term. And the closer we get to retirement, our investing appetite and aversion to risk may change, and it is always helpful to be on the lookout and have the knowledge, the option of a broad spread for our investments to keep our portfolio safe. The fixed income class is one that a lot of older people have in their portfolio. And it is something that can be utilized to our advantage. And today's guest will be able to explain the bond market, which forms part of the fixed income market. Elizabeth Moran is Director of Education and Research for FIG, F-I-I-G, and they're a company in Australia that specialise in fixed income and in particular in the bond market. Elizabeth is a regular contributor for the Australian newspaper and frequently writes for and is quoted in other press as well. She has 10 years experience with FIG and has been a corporate and bank analyst. Her passion now is for education. She has authored the FIG's Australian Guide to Fixed Income and runs a course for financial advisors on fixed income products and publishes and writes the Wire magazine. Elizabeth has been a presenter across Australia at conferences and has been a regular at the Australian Investors Association annual conference and has now been appointed a board member. So I'm really excited to have Liz on our show today. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth Moran from FIG. How are you today?
I'm very well, thanks, Anne. How are you?
I'm great. It's a lovely day up here in North Queensland. Now, as an introduction, could you please tell the listeners a little bit about you and how you got to be where you are at FIG, the Fixed Income Specialist?
Sure, thanks, Anne. So my background's commerce. I did commerce and marketing at uni, and then I joined a bank, State Bank Victoria, where I worked and Commonwealth Bank for a number of years. So initially I worked in communication, and then I learnt retrained in credit, so I learnt lending. I had a great time doing that, and early on was in the recovery, a recovery department for the Commonwealth Bank. So as a young analyst, a really good place to be, looking at the consequences of bad lending decisions. But then I moved to London and worked with NatWest Markets as an analyst, and I was a specialist in alcoholic beverages and general retailers. So that was in their credit rating group. So we analysed the top 500 clients of the bank and made recommendations as to what products, what domiciles, what rates of return they could get from the bank. So that was a very exciting time. And then my husband and I came back to Australia with a young family, and then I had a number of years working as an analyst for a quantitative rating agency. I was actually writing press releases for Bloomberg. And then picked up the job at FIG about 10 years ago. So I've been with FIG 10 years, actually just last week. So that's a bit about me. So really an analyst by background, but early on in FIG's days, we realised we needed to educate investors about the asset class before they would be prepared to invest. So I've sort of, my passion's really moved back to education now, and I present a lot and write quite a lot.
Thanks for that introduction. Now, just for the listeners also, I know in America the bond class and fixed income class is more well known. In Australia, when we think of fixed income, we tend more to think about term deposits, I suppose. So how has bond investing progressed in Australia, and probably just what is a fixed income?
Okay, so I'll start with what is fixed income first. You're absolutely right, it is deposits, and most people would be very familiar with those. We understand SMSFs have about an allocation of about 30% to cash or deposits at the moment, but it also includes bonds, and there's lots of different types of bonds and different risks and returns associated with them. But it does also, or has traditionally included, hybrids. We're less inclined to think of hybrids as fixed income these days because the terms and conditions have moved to be a lot more equity-like than debt-like. So bonds are debt, lending, also term deposits are debt, if you like. So, yeah, we tend to think of hybrids as a bit more equity-like. So that's the fixed income asset class, quite broad. What's happened in Australia over recent years, well, I should say very traditionally, bonds are only available in $500,000 parcels in the over-the-counter market. And that's the global market. That's really where FIG trades. So some years ago, we took these $500,000 parcels and made them available in smaller denominations from $50,000 and more recently from $10,000 per bond. So that's meant the asset class is a lot more accessible, and you can choose the bonds you want to invest in, the companies you want to invest in, but still create a diversified portfolio. So in Australia, the allocation to bonds is increasing. A lot of investors are looking at getting into bonds through managed funds and ETFs, which have different characteristics to, and we think you lose a lot of the benefits going that way. We think the direct investment is better, but I'll speak a bit about that more. So really the bond market here is opening up. We're really backward in terms of ownership of bonds. New Zealand even has a better and more developed market than we do. So we are quite behind, but it is progressing now.
Thank you. I do have overseas listeners as well as Australian listeners, so you are talking to a broad market here. Can you tell us where bonds sits in the asset classes? How does it compare in the asset classes that are available for investment?
Okay. So bonds, when you think of bonds, you should think of a defensive asset class and put them generally under the defensive allocation in your portfolio. So, but that said, there's such a wide range of bonds. So if you're looking at the very lowest risk bonds, typically Australian government, US government bonds are very low risk. There are some higher risk government bonds, but then you move to corporate bonds, and some corporate bonds have similar risks to government bonds, but then there can be very high-risk corporate bonds as well. So you would look at, I'm going to talk very generally at the moment, returns from about 2% to double-digit returns depending on the risk of the company at the time. So in Australia, it's a developing high-yield market. There aren't that many high-yield bonds. FIG has been the main originator of those bonds. I think we've issued about 37 now. But we have quite a number of our clients investing in US dollar bonds at the moment, high yield, but also the low-risk US dollar bonds. So it is very much a global market, and wherever you are, so to your overseas listeners as well, there are bonds in like every currency that you can think of. So,
okay, and how, I suppose, with our portfolios, is it up to the individual where they place their investments depending on their risk fear factor, I suppose?
That's exactly right. So at the moment, we're suggesting to our clients to add more defensive bonds, so the lower risk, lower return bonds. And in fact, just last week, one of our state managers did a portfolio that we published to our client base $1 million portfolio, and he had a 30% allocation to government bonds. So it does really depend on where your fear factor or what you're thinking is going to happen to the market. But that said, in that same portfolio, he had roughly a similar amount allocated to US dollar and Australian high yield bonds. So even though you've got very liquid, the government bonds are very liquid as well. You know, you can trade those on any given day. The higher risk ones are perhaps less liquid in stressful markets, but they have the lovely higher return. So the overall return of that portfolio was about, I think it was about 5.5%, what we would say yield to maturity, but it encompassed some of those really low risk and then some of the high risk bonds as well.
On average, do people stay in a bond for the whole time of its life?
That's a really good question. So about 50% of our clients are hold to maturity. So they just buy and hold, like set and forget, because with a bond, the face value of the bond is $100. And then at maturity, you expect to get that same $100 back. So that's one of the big benefits of holding bonds direct, is that capital stability and capital preservation. So a lot of clients are just happy to take the income. They're wanting to preserve capital. This is the sort of the defensive part of their portfolio. So quite happy to just let it run. The other sort of 50% do trade and can trade quite a lot. So, for example, about 18 months ago now, there were some Fortescue US dollar bonds that were trading at deep discounts to their $100 face value and maybe in the $70 range. So we had clients that bought those bonds in sort of a six-month, less than 12-month anyway, period. Fortescue had somewhat recovered. The iron ore price had recovered. It had cut costs and confidence in the company grew, and that bond prices rose. I think those same bond prices are over $100 per bond now. So clients, you can make very good returns over short periods if you're prepared to take on the risk. And I know some of those clients have sort of made 30% returns in about a year or less than a year. So that just gives you an example. Not many people realise that you can earn really good returns in bonds but still have that sort of capital certainty that as long as the company doesn't go into wind-up or liquidation, you still expect to get that $100 back at maturity.
Wow, that's very impressive. I didn't know there was that sort of returns in the bond market.
There are. The big risks pay well, and that's where like coming through or dealing with someone like FIG, if you can have a $10,000 allocation to that bond. If that's not a large part of your portfolio, if something happens or something does go wrong, but on the other side, it can really boost your overall returns as well.
Right. And where does bonds fit in the asset classes?
So as I mentioned, sorry, Anne, you did ask me that and I got waylaid. So they are defensive, and I would typically think of bonds as the defensive, and if you are holding a lot of cash, that it's a natural progression to use some of that cash to buy bonds for higher returns. So typically a low risk bond portfolio would yield 1-2% more than deposits. So if you're getting a sort of a 2.6 or 7% deposit rate, you would look to get sort of 3.6 or 7 to 4.7 or 8 sort of percent return. So it doesn't sound like much, but it's almost double the return. And actually, in terms of cash paid back to you, it's quite a lot more, you know. And you have to think that it's every year. It's not just a 1 year or one off. You are getting those extra returns with bonds. So defensive, less risk than property and shares, a lot more stable than property and shares. In fact, there's a study, a Russell ASX study out about a month ago, that showed that bonds had the second highest return over the last 10 years after residential property. So bonds beat shares in the last 10 years. And interestingly, the Australian Financial Review ran an article, and I think it was just in this last weekend's paper, that 30-year bonds had beaten 30-year shares as well. So people don't realise that you can earn really good income and consistent, reliable income with bonds.
Thank you. That's very encouraging. So how easy is it to own a bond?
Okay, so bonds, because the traditional parcels are $500,000 per bond, it's been very difficult in Australia to own a bond. but there are a number of ways you can invest in the market. So the first, I think there are some bonds listed on the ASX. There's only four or five, but there you can buy bonds on the ASX. And there is a new product on the ASX called XTBs, and they are Australian corporate bonds. Typically, well, they're virtually all investment grade, low risk, low return, but it's a trust structure. It's not direct ownership, if you like. You can also invest through managed funds and exchange-traded funds, and both of these have been popular choices in recent years, but you actually lose most of the main benefits of bonds. And the first one is that there is a maturity date. So if you're a direct holder, you know when those funds are going to come back to you. And if you have big expenses at that time, you can match your liabilities and your assets. So that's a very big benefit of the asset class that you lose with a managed fund and an ETF. And the other is the known income. So with bonds pay either quarterly or half yearly income, and you will know the exact dates of those payments if you own direct, whereas going through a managed fund or an ETF, the manager makes the decision to make the payment. And, of course, if you're going through a sort of a fund-type arrangement, there are unit prices that you're subjected to, you know, so you have to take, if you need to sell, you have to take the unit price on the day. Whereas with direct, you can choose the companies that you invest in, the amounts you invest in, your risk and your risk appetite and your return and the maturity date. And also through FIG, because we trade in $10,000 parcels, they're pretty liquid. It's a trade plus two-day settlement terms for most of our bond trades. So, you know, quite a quick turnaround. And I guess that's one of the big benefits over investing in a term deposit. You can access liquidity by investing in direct bonds.
Well, that's reassuring and good to know, because that's the problem with term deposits, isn't it? They're usually tied up for 6 months or 12 months, and then if you break it, you're penalised for getting out of it.
Well, that's right. You can lose quite a lot of the interest that you would have made otherwise. And I guess that's one of the things with term deposits too. If you have a one-year term deposit, typically you get paid interest after 1 year at maturity, whereas depending on the type of bond, whether it's a fixed rate or a floating rate or perhaps an inflation-linked bond, you might have had four interest payments during the year. So
good for
nice for cash flow for retirees, I think.
Yes, that's what we need to know, what we're going to be living off for the year. And some of us aren't very good at planning a year in advance on our spending. So now, what would you like to talk about with your bonds so we educate the listeners a bit more?
I think really that they're pretty simple. So you can think of yourself as like the bank. You're lending the money to the company, and at the end of the day, the company has to repay you the money. So if you think the company is going to be still operating at the end of the term of the maturity date of your bond, then it's a really quite an easy decision to invest, because you are going to get your money back and you're going to have those known interest payments. So one of the things I like to say to people when you're thinking about bonds, I like to say think about the survivability of the company, because if it survives, it's going to pay you as you expect. And in Australian companies have a very, very good record of doing exactly what they set out to do with their bonds. Now, if you think about shares, and I often just compare it to shares because so many people have shares, what, to my mind, the key driver with a share is the growth. So is the company going to grow, and are your dividends going to grow, and is the price of the share going to grow? And if you think about growth versus survivability, I think survivability is an easier equation. Bonds are one of the few asset classes where you could come in and we would say, we expect you to earn 5% on this bond until maturity. Not too many asset classes do that, and I think it's that certainty, diversification, of course, with bonds as well, because you can buy like US dollar bonds, or you can buy bonds that aren't listed on the ASX. So they're the key reasons that you would hold bonds, I think.
Thank you. Did you want to explain a particular type of bond to us this morning, today?
Okay. Well, I'll explain three types. I'll just give you very brief overviews because that will help. So the one you're probably most familiar with is fixed rate bonds. So when they're first issued at $100 face value, they have a fixed rate of return, and say it's 6%. So you know you're going to get 6% for the life of the bond, which might go for 5 years. So you would get a 3% or $3 payment every half year per $100. I hope that's making sense, Anne. And like very, very certain payment dates. And at the end, you get your 6 month interest payment date plus your $100 back. So those bonds are very protective if interest rates are going down, because you know absolutely what your rate of return is going to be. And the only way those bonds can reflect the changing interest rates is for the prices to rise. So that's where you can make more money than you expect. So we have some fixed rate bonds now trading about $120. So if you bought the bond at first issue for $100, you could sell it now and make an extra $20 on that bond. So a lot of people don't understand that there are higher returns available, because the prices, once the bonds start to trade, move up and down. So you can get those higher returns. So the fixed rate bonds aren't so attractive if interest rates are going up, but typically interest rates go up by smaller amounts and over longer periods, so easier to judge. If you really were convinced interest rates were going up, you would sell out of your fixed rate bonds and you would buy the other main type of bond called a floating rate bond. And these bonds, every quarter, every 90 days, the interest rate adjusts according to an underlying benchmark called bank bill swap rate. So they would typically have their rates of return would be bank bill swap rate plus a fixed margin on the top of that, and that might be 2 or 3%. So you know there's a fixed component, but the underlying benchmark changes. So if you really were of the view that interest rates were going up, you would have a higher weighting to floating rate bonds in your portfolio. And it's just like, I think, going and getting a new term deposit every quarter and looking for the best rate, except you don't have to do that because you've invested in the bond and that rate just adjusts for you. So I think they're really nice bonds if you're looking for the best rate all the time, the best market rate. And the third type of bond, which I think people, everyone should have in their portfolio, and in fact particularly retirees, is because they're inflation linked. So instead of linking to the bank bill swap rate, they link to CPI, and they also have a fixed margin on the top of CPI. So if we get an inflation spiral like we did in the 70s and 80s, where you have a 10%, you know, quarterly inflation rate, which is frightening. I don't think any of us want to go there. But these bonds would pay inflation plus that fixed margin. If inflation went to 10%, you might be getting a 13% return on those bonds, which would be very protective of your nest egg and your purchasing power.
Thank you for the education there. Before we finish up, did you want to talk about corporate bonds?
Yeah, so there are so many companies out there that issue bonds, very wide-ranging, and you would know so many of them. So BHP, Woolworths, Wesfarmers, all the banks. The banks issue a lot of bonds in Australia and overseas. But there are also some mid-sized companies now starting to issue bonds, and FIG have originated quite a number of these bonds. So one we did very recently was RSEA, Protective Workwear, and they also make concrete bollards. So if you're driving out to the Tullamarine Airport and you see all those concrete bollards protecting the roadworks there, produced by RSEA. So we raised funds for them as a high-yield corporate bond. Another interesting one we did one for was a company called StockCo. And StockCo, it's an Australian operation of a New Zealand parent. In essence, they buy livestock and they fatten them up before they sell them. So they hold the livestock for sort of 12 to 18 months And the security on those bonds is actually the livestock. But interestingly, elders own 25% of the Australian arm of StockCo. So some really interesting and very, very different businesses and Australian businesses that you can look to invest in that aren't necessarily on the ASX and still get sort of pretty good returns. The StockCo bond, when that first issued, had a yield of about 8%. So it's changed now. It's come down a bit. But they're the sorts of things that might interest you. At FIG, certainly we do our research and we have that available for our clients and on our website. But there's an enormous range of corporate bonds out there. Apple, for example, issue an Australian dollar denominated corporate bond, as do BMW, as do Morgan Stanley, the big US bank. But also our Australian companies issue a lot of foreign currency bonds as well. So it's hard to sort of get across just the size of the market, but the global bond market is estimated to be worth double the size of the global equity market. So that might just put it in a bit of context. There's a lot of corporate bonds out there, Anne.
Sounds like it. And it sounds like the Australian bond market is growing because I believe US investors have been used to bonds. I know of people that are American-based, and whenever they have spare money, they buy a few more bonds for their retirement fund.
That's exactly right. So people often come to us with sort of smaller amounts to try out the market, but very quickly they really like it and are surprised by that, the regularity of the income payments into their account. So a lot of our clients start small and then have, you know, sort of the largest weighting in their portfolio in bonds. They just feel that, you know, it's a sleep at night asset class. You don't have to worry too much.
Well, thanks very much for being on the show today, Elizabeth. And would you like to share, if people want to get in touch with you or your company, where would they go?
Exactly. Well, our website is figfig.com.au, and we have a new site called It's The Wire at FIG, where you can go and have a look at the companies and the sorts of articles we produce. But look, I'm really happy if anyone wants to get in contact with me direct. My email is elizabeth.moran, M-O-R-A-N, at fig.com.au. Happy to help anyone that might be interested. And
well, thank you. It's been great having you on the show today. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.